Introducing Tools for Living Your Fullest Life. This is Life's Toolbox with Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio. Now, here's your host, Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to Life's Toolbox, where each week we discuss tools that will assist you in opening awareness to your own incredible truth and empower your journey to authentic living. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I have a couple of housekeeping items, if you will, to talk about before we get to the tool for the show. First, last week I misspoke on something, and I want to make a correction to that. Last week in the tool, You Matter, I read a portion of what I believe is Marianne Williamson's most famous quote, certainly my favorite. I read that, and then I talked a little bit about it, and then I continued with several other quotes by Marianne, and I said that they were a continuation of the quote that I had started with. I was mistaken on that. I just misread that, and kind of I jumped over the remainder of the most famous of quotes that I know of anyway. Anyway, all of the quotes that I read were from the book of Return to Love. They were not part of that same quote, as I had said. Since the rest of that quote is absolutely beautiful, I do want to read it so that you know that whole quote. It's just great. So here it is. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure about around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make magnificent the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I hope this quote holds as much meaning for you as it does for me. Like I said, those other quotes were very, very powerful as we were speaking to the tool, You Matter. And I do not want to devalue those in any way. It's just they're not part of that original quote that I began with. So hopefully that kind of straightens it out and removes some confusion. The other thing that I want to talk about before we get to the tool for today is I want to speak to a statement I read last week that opened my eyes to some facts about our elections. Now, I am not going to get political, and my intent today and always is never to sway your vote one way or the other. I will, however, speak to the process of electing our government officials several times as we near the elections in November. Blogist, I guess that's a word, that I talked of last week, Gloria Richards, also shared another blog this week, and if you wanted to follow that, that's Sharing Random Thoughts, and you can look that up. But anyway, she wrote about the three-party system in our electoral process. Her words encouraged me to mention it here. I will not read her entire blog, only the first paragraph, and Gloria writes, "Did you know that we have a three-party system in our government? No, it's not independence, which is what I thought when I first heard the statement. The three parties are Democratic, Republican, and non-voters. Can you guess which party has the most members? The answer is the party of non-voters." Now that ends her paragraph. I was very surprised at this fact. Over half of the eligible voters are members of this non-voter party, and we all must do our part in changing this. There are many reasons people choose not to vote. However, those reasons are merely excuses. Our vote is a gift. It is a gift enabling us to speak up for what we desire, and it is a gift to this nation. Whether our candidate wins the election or not, we are speaking to what we want in our officials. Gloria mentions a few reasons people decide not to vote, and those include time, choices of candidates, and feeling that our votes don't count. Time is no longer an excuse with the early voting options available to us. Even if early voting was not available, is the next few years of leadership for this country and our communities, our states, are they, is that not worth a bit of our time? So time is no longer an excuse. The next excuse is candidates on the ballot. I have to admit, there have been several elections that I did not see any of the candidates as worthy of my vote. But we must release this thinking. And we've got to start looking deeper at these candidates. We must look at all that they are, not just their main campaign promises. There is something about one of the candidates that is closer to serving our desires than the other. When we take the time to research the candidates and educate ourselves, we can find someone we can stand behind and support. We must look beyond what we do not like about the candidates and look for what we do like and support. Now, of course, if something about the candidate challenges our values and our ethics, our morals, we need to look elsewhere. We must vote in candidates who will work for the highest good of this country, the citizens of this country, the citizens of the world. And above all, we must stop voting the party line just because that's the way we've always voted. In my lifetime, I have seen many shifts in party stances on many issues, and many of those shifts have been driven by the supporters with the biggest bank accounts. We've got to stop this. So do some research, learn what you can about each candidate, and then vote accordingly. The excuse that your vote does not count is just not good enough. Your vote does count. In many elections that we've seen recently, we have seen evidence of this. Political races are closer than ever. Your vote matters, just as you matter in every aspect of your life. Gloria ends her blog this week with a statement that I absolutely love. She says, "Don't give your vote away. It is much too precious." As we near the November elections, we are going to talk more about seeking the candidates that work for you and how to stay positive and empowered through the process of choosing your candidate. We will not talk about who the best candidate is, since that's going to differ for each of you. Begin now, though, and study the candidates. Learn what you can about them. Look beyond their campaign promises. Do they support your values and your morals? Will they offer leadership that serves your greatest good, the highest good for your community, your country? Will they serve the highest good for this planet? These are the questions we need to be asking. Be educated. Be an educated voter, and then make your vote count. So that's the soapbox for today. I hope that I didn't bore you too much with that, and I hope that it actually holds some meaning for you. Now let's get to our tool. Have fun. Now, what a shift, moving from talking about the seriousness of election to having fun. While the elections are serious, so are many other things in our life. However, I have never seen it written that we cannot have fun in serious times. Neither have I seen it written that we cannot transform the situations into lighter and more enjoyable experiences. Even the process of choosing a candidate can be made fun when we look for who will serve to elevate our communities and our country. As you'll see later on in the show, adding fun expands our ability to explore and find what we seek. Now, I'm not talking about using fun as a diversion from the seriousness. I'm not talking about silliness either. Maybe some people would appreciate this tool more if I used the word enjoyable here. If you're one of those, then go ahead and think enjoyable each time you hear me mention fun. To me, they are interchangeable. As far as this tool goes anyway. Either way, fun is more than having a good time. It is truly vital to our growth and learning. To elevate anything, we serve ourselves and our growth when we add fun. For many of us, when we become adults, life becomes serious. We kind of leave fun behind. For some, the first career invited seriousness to step in. For others, when they became parents, life became serious. And sure, there's seriousness in all of that, but who says that we have to take on that serious attitude? For those who still have fun, there are probably specific times that you allow fun and other times that you move back to serious. For most of us, when we find ourselves in a difficult situation in life, we get serious and we leave fun totally out of the situation. We have been taught that a serious situation requires us to be serious, which for many of us takes on a somber aspect. we move into areas that are somewhat dark and match our emotions to the situation we are facing. I know people who do not appreciate the fact that I include fun in those serious situations. They feel that by having fun, I devalue the situation we are facing. This can happen if we're not careful. However, when we mindfully approach a situation, we can keep it light and fun while still honoring the importance of that situation. All too often, when we become serious about circumstances we face, the situation takes on a more serious feeling. Dark emotions like worry, upset, sadness, anger, or fear get added to the dark situation. These will never lead us to solutions or resolutions. The dark emotions will only add more darkness. Light is elusive when we go here. Love and certainly fun can easily be left out. This tool came to mind this morning as I received the news that one of my aunts is close to passing. Several months ago, she was told she had 3 or 4 days to live due to a failing heart. The situation certainly is serious. However, if I match my emotions to the seriousness of the situation, I move into sadness and worry and even fear. I do experience those emotions. However, I can choose to focus on the joyous times with her. I can focus on the mental image I have of her sitting at her big picture window with her dog laying on a stand right next to her chair. And they both are sitting there watching out over this field where deer emerge from the fields every afternoon. It's one of their favorite things to do, and it's so joyous to watch them. I can remember her laughter and the conversations that were light and loving that we had. The dark emotions do not serve her or me right now. They don't serve the rest of the family in the darkness of the situation. It is said that dark will never defeat darkness. Only light can do that. Adding light pierces that darkness and illuminates our path to resolution and healing and or highest good. Light allows all that is good to become known. The dark emotions tempt us to ignore or avoid a situation while light allows us to move through it, embrace it, find answers, and transform it into an opportunity to learn and grow. We add light by expressing love, and fun allows us to do this more easily and effortlessly. Including love and fun lightens the darkness, and we engage instead of ignoring and avoiding or falling into despair. We love when love and fun are present. Fear ebbs, and soon we see the solution that we so desperately seek. Our eyes are open wider, and our thought processes open to receive ideas. We see more opportunities and understanding. Many of us have settled into a comfortable existence in our life. You know, we get settled because to try something new and make changes requires us to be vulnerable. So automatically, for most of us, when we are faced with a serious situation, we kind of sink into that seriousness. To many of us, making these changes, you know, feeling this vulnerability is perceived as weak and fearful, and we avoid it at all costs. We can adjust our perception of vulnerability when we understand its power. Vulnerability can be an amazing resource in life situations, especially those serious ones. Vulnerability opens us to greater awareness and assists us to see beyond the negative details of the situation. Adding fun is not a method to forget the seriousness of the situation. It is not a way to cover up what we wish to avoid. It is a way to see more than the sadness, fear, worry, or whatever the seriousness invites. Fun is a way to see this vulnerability as a power, as it empowers us. To add a visual perspective to all of this, consider for a moment life as a dartboard or a target. There's a circle in the middle that we call the bullseye, and around the bullseye we have a larger circle, and outside of that is even a larger circle, so a total of 3 circles here. The bullseye, where we set our aim in darts, is the smallest of the 3 circles. It is the goal we hope to achieve, and we've fooled ourselves into thinking that this is the ultimate goal. This is where the prize can be found for most of us. For many of us, once we hit that target, we kind of settle in. And we're going to talk more about the dangers of settling in just a moment. As we strive to meet this life of comfort we think is the answer for us, we busy ourselves by throwing more and more darts or more and more activities. We try one thing and then another, hoping that one will land in the bullseye. The more we try to reach our target, the more tired we become, making it harder and harder to hit the goal, making it harder and harder to stay motivated to hit the goal. I'm sure you've already figured out that in life, this inner circle represents our comfort zone. We find great comfort here. However, it is small, limiting, and temporary. The more effort we put into reaching this comfort zone, the more difficult it becomes to find the comfort that we seek. In fact, even when we do hit the bullseye, the comfort zone we find, like I said, is temporary at best. Comfort zones will shrink if we do nothing to expand them. So even if we hit that target, we're not done. And the good news is there's ways to do this and still have fun. If we never test the boundaries of our comfort zone, they will close around us. When we settle into our daily routines, we fall victim to this. When we settle into the comfort of our relationships, for instance, and never seek to expand them, they too will shrink. Now, how awesome would it be if we could enlarge the bullseye, make it easier to hit? How great would it be if, after enlarging our comfort zone, the time we can spend there expands as well? We enlarge our comfort zones by testing the boundaries of what we find comfortable. Before we explore ways to expand our comfort zones, I want to share an example of how our comfort zones shrink. Now, I've shared this before, so if you're a longtime listener, you will have heard this before, so I'm going to make this brief. Our example comes from a story of a woman who was found living in a closet inside her home. The beginning of her story was like most of ours. She had a job that she loved. She did her shopping at the local grocery store and department stores. She had friends who she met for dinner or lunch occasionally. Her home was beautiful, and around the home was a yard where she enjoyed gardening in the evenings and on weekends. She had a patio she used for relaxing. She was nestled into this life that she found quite comfortable. Many of us strive for this comfort, and folks, there's nothing wrong with striving for that type of comfort. We just have to test it. We have to expand it. Her comfort was so pleasing to her, she never attempted to expand her experience of life. Within a few years, her comfort zone began to shrink. It all began with a dread of going to work, and soon that dread turned into fear. Instead of stepping through the fear, she gave into it. She found a way to work from her home. Therefore, she had no need to face her fear. Now, this was before the days of internet, so working from home was not as easy as it is today, and many people, including herself, consider her ability to work out of the house a true gift. She had a delivery service that brought her work each morning and picked up what she had done the day before. Now, on a side note here, working from home is not the issue. I'm not saying don't do that. I do that. What I am talking about is when we allow the fear to stop us. That's where the problems begin. You know, if we are working from home because of a fear of something, that's where we have problems. So anyway, as the new way of life became her new comfort zone, her fear began to expand beyond the workplace, and soon it was fearful to even go to the grocery or the department stores. Again, she gave into her fear, and to avoid the pain of fear, she found a way to phone in her orders and have them delivered. It was not long before the people delivering her groceries, her shopping, and her work were unsafe. All deliveries were then left out on the front porch, and she would retrieve them only after the delivery person left the property. Somewhere along the way, her fear tightened its grip again, and she could no longer attend dinners and functions with her friends and family. Her yard and her garden became unsafe, and even her house became unsettling for her. Her children found her living in the only safe place that she could find, and that was her closet. Now, while this is an extreme example, we all have comfort zones that shrink if we do not continually try new things. This is not about busyness. This is not about filling our day with more to-do items. It is about expansion and growth. Each of us have personal comfort zones in our relationships and in our lives. The routines we follow day in and day out are part of our comfort zones. The feelings we consider normal are part of our comfort zones. When we fall into the pattern of collapsing onto the couch each evening, numbing out to TV, and then crawling into bed day in and day out, our comfort zone will shrink. This pattern may offer comfort when we first begin, if we're in relationships, our partner may even settle into this with us. However, eventually the comfort zone will shrink and these practices will no longer offer comfort. Fortunately, we have internal indicators that tell us when our comfort zone is beginning to shrink. We may find it more difficult to get up and go to work. That's one. We may find our energy level drops to the point we don't want to go out in the evenings. There's another. We may suddenly not know how to communicate with our partner any longer. We may begin seeing our partner and other people in our lives with judging eyes instead of appreciation. We may find that our bond with the couch and the TV are stronger than our bond with the people in our life. The busyness of life often becomes an excuse for not trying anything new. The stress of our lifestyle steps in with the threat of overwhelm. We tire of trying to expand our comfort zones. We tire of trying to keep within our comfort zones. This inner circle, this bullseye, this comfort zone closes in and the comfort is gone once we had peace. To open a comfort zone and allow it to grow, we must expand the perimeter. We do that by pushing into that second circle of the dartboard that I mentioned earlier. This second circle represents the learning zone. This is where learning and growth happen. It is important to remember, no growth happens in the comfort zone. As we push out of our comfort zone, as we expand our experience in and of our lives, we extend the boundaries of our comfort zone. This second circle is the key to our joy and happiness. However, even this circle is limited unless we expand it. It's difficult to gather the strength and courage to press into the learning zone due to the outer circle that we talked about on the dartboard that looms just beyond that learning zone. This outer circle is fear. As human beings, it is our desire to avoid fear, and this is the reason many of us choose to remain trapped where we are. Ultimately, when we settle for staying the same, life shrinks. As discouraging as this may sound, there is one key ingredient that expands the learning zone and pushes fear far away. This ingredient is fun. Adding fun keeps fear at bay. It expands the learning zone, allows us to travel deep into that second circle without fear, and ultimately expands our comfort zone even further. The additional benefit is that as we add fun, the learning zone expands, giving us more areas to move and explore, and we never come close to that fear zone. When something is fun, we step further into it. We are still vulnerable each time we stretch outside of our comfort zone. However, as we add fun, push fear away, openly embrace the vulnerability, the task is enjoyable instead of fearful. We are more open to consider and experience change and new ideas. We can bring fun into every situation and experience. The situation may be serious. Our response to it does not have to be. The fun mentioned here is not about being silly or denying the situation. It is about giving seriousness a day off. We can take a serious situation, continue giving it the attention and the respect it is due, and still have fun in seeking resolution or solution. The routines and the behaviors we have settled into can be a thing of the past when we seek options with fun. Even if the alternative option is reading a book, we can have fun in the process. Even if the option we choose is a walk instead of sitting on the couch, we can make it fun. And the challenges we face in walking instead of sitting on the couch, they become easier and more enjoyable as well. Adding fun to anything expands our ability and our desire. We can experience the expansion of our comfort zone with mindfulness and fun, and we can expand the things we allow into our experience. We allow all things in life to expand by adding fun, and it is in fun and love that we truly expand and elevate our entire experience of life. So yes, folks, even when we're looking at the candidates we're going to vote for in the next election, we can have fun doing it. And like I said, fun is not about silliness. It's not always about laughter. It is something that we can enjoy. So enjoy your life. Find ways to add enjoyment and fun into your life, and you truly will expand your comfort zone. You truly will move further into that learning zone. You will expand all aspects of your life, and you will not one time decrease the value or the respect or the meaning of those serious situations. That's not what this is all about. We are not going to take away from a serious situation, just like my aunt that I spoke of earlier. I am not taking away from the seriousness of the situation. I am simply choosing to enjoy the memories of her, to enjoy the time that we have left, to add fun into the experience. Thank you so much for listening in today. I invite you to join the Life's Toolbox group on Facebook. Ask questions there. Begin conversations. I would love to see this group as a platform we can use to elevate love and peace and fun in this world. I want you to use this group to empower your own journey in life. And in doing that, you may very well shine a light on how others can empower their own journey. Also, please visit my website at www.kennybrixey.com to find out more about how my work may assist you in opening awareness to your own authentic truth. On that site, you're going to find out all kinds of things about books and workshops and programs, everything that I have to offer. Also, as always, my deepest gratitude goes out to Brent Carey and Mark Wilson there at Empower Radio for making this all possible. They do an incredible job to add positivity into the world. Until next week and beyond, have fun, play with this one, and enjoy life instead of being so serious all the time. Love and peace to you all.